Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
As a child growing up in the house of faith, learning to put the Word of God in my heart and let it come out of my mouth, when I wasn't feeling good, when I had needs, when I needed anything whatsoever, my parents told us to run to the Word. Now see, what I've got is children growing up in my house, and I'm raising another generation in the house of faith.
I know my God has made the way for me. I know my God has made the way for me.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Jeremy Pearsons explains how being stronger is better. It's better to be stronger than weaker, and your health, your finances, your relationships. So why should it be acceptable to be weak in your faith?
You and I want to be fit for the Master's use and prepared for every good work. That has become the theme of my life and my ministry. In everything that I set my hand to do, I want to be useful to Jesus. How about you? You want Jesus to be able to pick you out of a crowd and say, hey, yeah, that guy, that one right there, call your name and say, I can use you. That girl, come here, sweetheart, I can use you. You're somebody I can use. You know, He loves you, and you know He's called you, but getting into a shape that He can use, that's on us. And when I say on us, really, it's on us to go to Him. It's on us to depend on His grace to get us into a shape, get us into a condition that He can use. Now, we're coming to the end of this week of broadcast, but I want to make sure right now, before we ever get to the end of this one, you're already planning on joining us next week, because we got a lot to get into this. Still, and you think to yourself, you know, surely He can use me. I mean, surely Jesus wouldn't tell somebody that He couldn't use him. Well, the fact is, He would say that because He did say that to a number of different people. And we're going to have to study that, because you're going to see what condition they were in that kept Him from being able to use them. There were those He told, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. There's our word again, fit. You're not fit for the kingdom of God. So we want to find out what it looks like to be fit. We want to find out what it looks like to not be fit, not be in shape, and we want to never be that again. And that's why we've been reading here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 for days now, all this week, about being a vessel of honor, fit for the Master's use, prepared for every good work. We also saw what Paul said to Timothy about fighting the good fight of faith. In the Weiss translation, he said, be constantly engaged in the contest of faith. And I want to extend this invitation right now again for those of you who used to be feeding on this, and you used to be excited about the message of faith and walking by faith and living by faith. It's time to re-engage. It's time to get back up on your faith. You go back and remember those days, man, where you were calling things that be not as though they were. You were speaking to things and you were seeing things change. And ask yourself, why did I ever quit doing this? Just call on the mercy of God, get back in the ring, re-engage, be like Paul. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, not as one who doesn't have an impact. I'm ready to have an impact on this world. How about you? I'm ready to have an impact on the people I minister to. I'm ready to have a positive impact on my wife, my kids, my family, my staff. I want to have an impact for Jesus on the world around me. How about you? Is that what you want? I know it is. I know it is. And we were looking at the life of Abraham, a master of the basics of faith, somebody who got declared fit by God. That's Romans chapter 4. In the Message translation, it says, God declared him fit because he trusted God, because he plunged into the promise of God and came up strong. Make that decision again today. Make that declaration. I'm done being weak. I'm done with weakness of faith, and I'm going to be strengthened in faith. It's as simple as asking yourself this very basic question, what's better, stronger or weaker? Now, don't even apply it spiritually first. Apply it naturally. Things that you can see, things that you can feel. What's better, stronger or weaker? In every area of life, what's better? Stronger. Well, what's better physically? Physically stronger or physically weaker? Stronger, of course. What's better financially? Financially stronger or financially weaker? You know financially stronger is better. Don't let anybody talk you out of that. You know that. Don't let some unbelieving preacher tell you that it's better to be weaker financially. It's not. Stronger is better. What about in your immune system? What would you rather have, a stronger immune system or a weaker immune system? Say it with me, boys and girls. Stronger. You want a stronger immune system, one that can fight. Remember, that's what this whole thing is about, getting fit for the fight of faith. You want something that can fight back, not something that's weak and just gets run over all the time. You want something that's stronger. Stronger's better. Stronger is better. If I had to title this broadcast today, I'd call it that. Stronger is better. And never let yourself be talked out of that truth right there. Stronger is better. Well, what do you suppose is true when it comes to your faith? What's better, stronger faith or weaker faith? Stronger is better. You don't want to get run over all the time by natural elements of this world. You want faith that rises up and pushes back and is victorious and overcomes. Say it out loud. Stronger is better. In every area of life, in every arena of life, stronger is better. With the exception of a few smells, stronger is always better, okay? Stronger is better. Say it again. Stronger is better. I want you to, let's see, how do you want to do this, Lord? Let's go to the book of Mark. Go with me to Mark. I want to get this exactly right. There's so many things going on in my heart, going on in my head right now. I want to get this right. I think we'll continue on this thought as the Lord leads us. Stronger is better. We got to lay some more foundation for it, though. I said Mark. I tell you what, why don't you go to 2 Corinthians first, and then we'll end up in Mark. 2 Corinthians, again, just going back to these basics of faith, things that I can tell you from firsthand experience I grew up in. I grew up hearing these things. I grew up in what I lovingly refer to as the household of faith, like the actual one. You remember when Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6 about, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith, the household of faith. I firmly believe that there's something prophetic in there that's referring to the actual house I grew up in. Because it was faith, man. It was faith in the morning. It was faith at noontime, faith when the sun went down. And most of you know, my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, have been preaching faith for 50 years now. Praise God. And people all over the world know them as faith people. Who's that faith guy? Who's that faith lady? And I guarantee you, my grandfather would rather people know him as the faith guy than know him as Kenneth Copeland. That's just been the assignment. Preaching faith, faith in God, faith in the Word, faith in Jesus. He's been preaching it in churches, preaching it in convention centers, preaching it on television, preaching it in prisons, preaching it in old abandoned drugstores, preaching it to anyone, anywhere, anyone who would listen to him preach faith, he'd preach it to them. But you got to know that it wasn't just faith on the platform, it's faith at home. And the same house of faith that he brought his kids up is the same house of faith that I got brought up in. And when we went to mom and dad for this, that, or the other, be it something we need or not feeling good, it was always, what's the word say? What's the word say? What's the word say? And I just grew up in that kind of house. And even though I was around a bunch of Christian kids growing up, went to a Christian school, I had a bunch of Christian friends, they all went to church. I realized pretty early on that, yeah, we're all part of the same family, this Christian family, but you and I both know that there's such thing as a family within a family. Like, see, I'm a part of the Pearsons family. George and Terry are my dad, Aubrey's my sister. But now I have my own family. Sarah's my wife, Justice and Jesse are our kids. So I've got this family within a family. And sometimes I feel like the house of faith, that you and I are a part of, the one I'm talking about growing up in, we're sort of a family within the global family of the body of Christ. And in this family, there's just a difference. I realized it early on as a kid in school that my house was not like the other kid's house. And when a buddy of mine is gone from school, sick for a few days, he comes back, you know, yeah, it's fine, you know, just kind of laid around, watch TV, whatever. And I'm thinking, watch TV? You were sick and you laid around and watched it. That is not what happens in my house. As a matter of fact, you think twice before you go in and say, Mommy, I don't feel good. Because it's not about to be, oh, baby, love this little heart. Let me love on you. Now, Mom is passionate and tender and all that. But, you know, you go in and say, I don't feel good. Lights are coming on. Covers are coming off. Jeremy, go get your Bible. Jeremy, make these confessions. Get your Charles Capps book. Get Pawpaw CDs. And here we go. Say this after me. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Say it like you mean it, Jeremy. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, you know. By His stripes I'm healed. I'm making all these confessions. I did. I sounded a lot like a puppet when I was a little kid. But that's what it was like growing up in the house of faith. It was just the basics of faith all the time. What's the Word say? What's the Word say? What's the Word say? And as a kid, you know, you get to the point where you almost get tired of hearing it. It's like, just tell me what the Word says and then I'll know, you know. But I look back on it now, and I'm so thankful for it. I wouldn't change it and I wouldn't have it any other way. Because as a child growing up in the house of faith, learning to put the Word of God in my heart and let it come out of my mouth when I wasn't feeling good, when I had needs, when I needed anything whatsoever, my parents told us to run to the Word. Now see, what I've got is children growing up in my house and I'm raising another generation in the house of faith. It's gotten to the point now, months ago, maybe a year or so ago, Sarah and I were out. We had Justice in the back seat. We went and had to stop and pick up some food on the way to where we were going. We picked it up, got in, gave Sarah her food and handed Justice his, and we took off. We're on the road. And he's not even talking to us in the back seat, but out from behind me, I hear him open up his food, start to take a bite, and then say, "Grilled cheese, you cool down now in Jesus' name." Folks, you might be house of faith if your 5-year-old, 6-year-old is giving the faith command to a grilled cheese sandwich. He's growing up house of faith. I'm saying this jokingly, but it really happened. And now I'm watching this take place in my kids. And so many of you watching this, you've been in and around this ministry. You've been feeding on this, not just from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, but from other people preaching faith for decades now, growing up in the house of faith. And you learn a lot in your house. You find out who you are when you start to compare it to who others are. You know, like I mentioned, just finding those differences between me and the other kids at school. You find out who you are. You find out who you are as a teenager in your house when you say, can I go here and can I go do this? And dad says no. And then you say, why? You know, they get to go do it. They get to do this. And usually the response comes back is what? I don't care what they get to go do. In this house, this is what we do. And it's that little word we right there. You find out a lot about who you are when mom and dad start telling you what we do and what we don't do, and this is how we do things. And I'm learning this. Like I said, I got a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I hear myself saying all the time, we don't do that. We don't do that. We don't do that. Jesse, we don't hit. We don't scratch. We don't bite. That's not how we do things. And that little word we becomes the definition. It's your family. It's definitive of who you are. It's what separates you from the rest of the family. And I bring that up because here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, very famous passage of Scripture, verse 7, what did Paul say? He said, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And I'm so thankful that the Spirit of God, inspiring him to write this, had him put we and not I. Because I guarantee you, if Paul had said, I walk by faith and not by sight, you and I would have read it all these years later and said, yeah, well, that's you. You've got some special anointing, some special dispensation of grace on you that enables you to do something that I can't do. No, he said we. And that we is the house of faith. That's who we are. And in this family, this is how we walk. We walk by faith, and we don't walk by sight. All the other kids get to walk by sight. I don't care if all the other kids get to walk by sight. I don't care if everybody else's family gets to live by what they see and what they feel. In this house, come on, can you hear the daddy coming out in me now? In this house, this is how we walk. We walk by faith. Can you just hear the Father saying that to you? In His house, there's an expectation of how we are to walk, and it's by faith. It's by faith. If you back up into chapter 4 and listen to it again in verse 13, since we, he said, have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I speak. We also believe, therefore speak. Skip down to verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Right here, he is defining what it is to live and to grow up in the house of faith. This is how we do things. And in this house, there's a difference between us and them. Where there is a we, there is a them. There's a line. There's a dividing line, always. If there's a we, then there's a them. If there's an us, there's a they. And what he's saying is, there's a big difference in the way we do things compared to the way they do it. And who is they? People not in the house of faith. People who don't know how to put trust in God and put trust in His Word. He said, you and I, in this house, this is how we do it. There's a difference in the way we walk, and there's a difference in the way we talk. Now, you cannot get more basic when it comes to studying faith than talking about walking by faith and talking about talking by faith. These two things are faith at its most basic form, how you walk and how you talk. We have the same spirit of faith, according to what was written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Now, there are those people who would want to argue with this and say, I don't get into all that naming it and calling it this, that, and the other. You know, people say, I'm just real. I just got to be real. And you got to be watchful over people who want to be real. Because really what they're saying is, I just got to be carnal. Let me just be carnal with you here for a minute. And they're saying, if I don't see it like that, I'm not going to say it like that. I'm just going to be real. I'm going to say it how I feel about it. But for a believer, being real is not saying only what you see or only what you feel. For a believer, being real is saying only what you believe. That's what's being real. You're not faking it. You're not pretending it doesn't exist. You're saying what you believe about it, and you are limiting yourself to what you believe. I believe, therefore I speak, and my words are going to line up with what I believe. And then he goes on, like we read a moment ago in verse 16, we don't lose heart. We don't lose heart. I love that. Hold your place here and go over to the book of Psalms, chapter 27. Listen to this. In Psalm 27, he wrote in verse 13 and said, I would have lost heart. So Paul said, we don't lose heart. David said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, can you tell how different that is from the way most people live? They're saying, I would have lost heart, or I would have given up. I would have quit. I will quit if I don't see it. But David's saying, here's what's sustaining me. It's not seeing it that's sustaining me. It's believing to see it that's sustaining me. What's going to keep you up and alive and kicking all the way through the trial and the trouble that you're going through? It's not seeing the answer come. That's wonderful, and we're believing God to, but it's believing in the middle of it that's going to sustain you all the way through it. I know this is stuff you've heard. These are basics of faith, but we're going back over them again and developing the technique of our faith fight because we want to be fit for this fight. I would have lost heart unless I'd believed that I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Then he says in verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Again, making this declaration, I'm done being weak. Now, of all those areas and arenas of life that we've gone over in the last day or two, of where it's better to be stronger than weaker. Stronger is better. We talked about being stronger in your body, stronger in your immune system, stronger financially. It's better to be stronger relationally than weaker relationally. And of course, it's better to be stronger in your faith and all these things. You take any one of these areas, and more than each and every one of them, the most important place for you to be strong is strong in your heart. It's to be strong in your heart. Why? Because when you're weak physically, a strong heart will get you all the way through it. When you're weak financially, a strong heart will sustain you all the way through that weakness until you become strong. When you're weak in your immune system, the Bible says a strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily harm and in pain and in trouble. When you're weak in any one of these areas, as long as you have a strong heart, you can be sustained. As long as you've got a heart that is resolved to believe the Word of God. As long as you've got a heart that clings to the promise, a heart that's unwilling to let go, unwilling to quit. Because when you've lost heart, you're done. If you've lost heart, it's over. You're done. Heart will sustain you. Heart will keep you. And you can be weak in any one of these other areas, but if you'll be strong in your heart, it'll sustain you through it. Now, the thing about being weak, going from weak to strong, say again, physically, you know what? That doesn't always happen overnight. There is a time period, a time of development, a time of growth. You don't go from weak financially to strong financially overnight. And I know you're thinking, well, what about the lottery? No, look, if you're weak financially and you get a bunch of money, you're going to stay weak financially unless you learn how to be strong and get strong. So these things don't happen overnight, except in your heart. Right now, here and now, before the end of this broadcast, you can go from a weak heart to a strong one by making the decision, I am a believer. I'm a believer and not a doubter. And whatever has held you back and kept you from taking that step of courage, like David said, be strong, be courageous, like God spoke to Joshua, be strong, be courageous. What's he doing? He's speaking courage into that heart. Do not be afraid, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go. Your strong heart is going to sustain you all the way through it. And as long as you're believing, matches up with your speaking. This is how we do it in the house of faith. This is how we walk. I don't care if everybody else gets to walk by sight. I don't care if everybody else gets to talk about how they feel. In this house, we're going to walk according to the Word. We're going to say what God has said. And we're going to find ourselves being strengthened and fit for the fight of faith.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.